live from New York.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and I am coming at you live from New York City. It is a beautiful day here in the city, and I am so, so happy to see you, well, be with you, join you. If that's what it is, I'm just happy to kind of hang out with everybody again. Let me just give you some quick updates. I was watching The View today, and Sherry Shepherd got in Elizabeth, what's her last name, Hasselback, her face. And, like, Sherry, I think her true color came out because she was kind of, like, all up in her face and this and that. Finally, Barbara Walters had to calm it down. I think it was a bit much and probably not very necessary, but, you know, this is very heated. This is a very heated time in politics. This is a very heated time in our country, and a lot of people are truly pissed. You know, they're not happy with the way things are going, and I think even based upon whatever your political affiliation is, just to know that this is getting so, I think egregious would be a good word. I mean, just the negative campaigning is bananas. And, you know, Elizabeth is saying, oh, well, you know, he's with Tony Resco and Jeremiah Wright. And I'm thinking to myself, this is, like, so old news. Why are you even bringing this up? And, you know, it's stupid. And then they're talking about John McCain and stuff that happened 17 years ago. I don't know. Sorry, I just took my last bite of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, everybody. No, that's my daily routine. I got to stop saying that. You guys are going to think I'm just shoving food in my mouth like 5 minutes before the show goes live. And for the most part, it pretty much does. But, yeah, it's just this thing is getting nasty. So tonight, you know, is the second presidential debate. And I don't even know what to expect at this point. I don't know if we're walking into this thing saying, yeah, Barack is going to do his thing, or Barack is just going to be the aloof and smooth Barack that he really is, and then John McCain is going to screw up and he's going to say something stupid. I think at this point nobody really knows. I know for a fact I was very heated at the last presidential debate. I wanted Barack to come out swinging. I wanted him to come out and say something to jam McCain up, something to just be like, ugh. And he didn't. You know, he's very cool and very, you know, just mellow. And, you know, I'm like, come on, Barack, say something, jab him, do, you know. But he didn't. And, you know, so I guess that's how Barack, I guess that's maybe why he's winning or leading in the polls, because he's so cool. You know, Chris Matthews said last night about Barack Obama, he's calling him No Drama Obama. So I don't know if that's like a little facetious dig or if it's really an accurate assessment of the guy who is going to probably, I would place my bets on him, probably be president in a very short time. And a friend of mine actually told me this morning that a Republican strategist actually got on television and said they might as well just kick Bush out now. And this is definitely paraphrased. Kick Bush out now and let Barack come on in and start running things, because we know that this is where it's going anyway. Now, if a Republican strategist is saying that, it's kind of bleak. You know, that's kind of bleak for the Republicans right now. If their own team, usually they mask it and say, you know, an anonymous source or, you know, somebody said, but the way it was told to me is that they actually said it, you know, on the air. So That's not very good. That's not very good from a king. Oh, I got to give you a really good one-liner that I heard today on The View, that Sarah Palin seems like she makes a better vice principal than a vice president. So now I said it, and I'm sure it lost something in the translation, but it was funny when I heard it. You guys know I just try to give this goofy stuff. But anyway, before I just go on and go on and go on, we have an amazing guest who will be joining us momentarily. I'm just going to get into our daily thought from the Hill, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center in Atlanta, Georgia. But we have a great guest today. Griff is going to be joining us. And actually, I met him for the first time when I lived in Atlanta. I was doing something with Dee Dee, who you all know is our show's publicist. We had a hip-hop awards show, and he hosted it, and we took a lot of great pictures, and it was really good, and he's a really funny guy. So we've been trying to get him on the show for a minute, so I'm really happy that our schedules were able to kind of make it happen. So Griff is going to be joining us in a second. So if anybody wants to call into the show and talk to Griff, just dial 347-633-9113. Again, 347-633-9113. I just opened the chat room, so the chat room is now open, so we will have a very active chat room today, so that's what's up. Let me jump right into this daily thought. We're going to bring Griff into the show, and I just want to thank you all for hanging out with me today. It's your girl, Sky Brown, right here in New York City on Life Remix Radio. So here we go. Today's Daily Thought from the Hill, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center in Atlanta, reads as follows. God's love brings me comfort, solace, and peace. God's love brings me comfort, solace, and peace. If you are to test your strength, see how many times a day you are disturbed. Are you unmoved by appearances, or do appearances rule you? We can picture ourselves in the boat with Jesus' disciples as it's tossed to and fro by the winds and waves. It must have seemed very frightening. Jesus, in Matthew 8:24, Jesus commanded the storm to end and the sea to be calm. God's loving nature that comforts and strengthens us was displayed in Jesus. The psalmist says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. Fear not, little flock. Use your energy denying that any harm could ever befall you. Use your faith to reinforce your belief in the perfect outcome for all involved. Through the love of God, I claim peace in all situations and walk confidently through any challenge. It is another chance for me to use my truth principles to win the race before me. God's love brings me comfort, solace, and peace. Thanks, God, and so it is. And today's scripture comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Yeah, you know, in crazy times like this with globalization and technology and the economy, you've got to kind of need something to bring you comfort and peace. So I guess that's meant for everybody out there that's not an atheist. You all know we're not just trying to jam Jesus, God, not anybody's throat at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But I think we all need a little motivation and inspiration every once in a while just to kind of keep us going through tough times. So it's all good. And, you know, tune in to me every day at 12 o'clock. That's what you're going to get. So on that note, let me bring in my guest who I'm so happy to speak with. Griff, are you with us?
What's cracking, baby?
I'm so happy to have you on my show today. I'm so happy. So what's going on in Atlanta?
Man, first of all, let me tell you, the book that you just read from, Hillside, it's an awesome church. I go seek Dr. Barbara often. I'm actually there on Father's Day to go see Dr. Naeem Akbar speak. So that's a great church.
Yes, it is. See how it's a small world? And you know what's so funny about Hillside?
Actually, you know what? It's not a small world, and that really irks me when people say that. It's a big, giant planet. Two-thirds of it is water, and if you can't swim, then you double short. You're really supposed to see and hear the people that's good often, but it's a giant planet. It's huge.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I never thought of it that way, but you know what?
You're absolutely right. So how are you today?
I'm doing good. It's another day up here in the city. I'm chill. It's freezing as hell outside in New York. I don't know about Atlanta. What's the weather like down there?
It's about 74 right now. It'll probably top out at about 81. It's starting to, you know, it's fall. My birthday was exactly 7 days ago on September 30th. I'm a Libra, and this time of the year, It's so beautiful. And I was just telling my wife the other day, I said, you know what? What I've always loved about my birthday is that things change around my birthday. You know what I'm saying? I'm originally from Los Angeles, so we really don't have seasons on the West Coast. You know, it's either green or brown. But I started comedy in Washington, D.C., and I really got to see the seasons, like what we read about in books on the West Coast. I really got to see autumn and fall and the burgundy leaves and the yellow leaves and the red leaves and driving from D.C. to New York and Philly. You just really got to see change. So I'm just blessed that, you know, I could wake up. That's all. You got to be happy for the little things. You can't change the world. You just got to be happy. I don't even care if I have the stuff in my eyes still from sleep. I wake up and say, good looking on the wake up, Lord.
I love it. You know what's funny, too? When I moved to Atlanta, I moved in September, and up here in September, it starts to get cold.
Right.
So, you know, like right now, we wake up, it might be in the low 50s or the upper 40s, and it's only getting lucky up to like 70 degrees. So when I move to Atlanta in September, I'm starting to break out my Tims. You know, I'm starting to get my winter clothes ready, my goose jacket.
Right.
It didn't get cold in September. It didn't get cold in October. You know, up here for Halloween, you can't even really wear your Halloween costume trick-or-treating because it's brick outside.
Halloween is probably when I've been here 10 years on the 28th of this month, and Halloween is probably for me to get your jacket. It ain't fall no more. You know what I'm saying? Like right now I'm wearing shorts and sandals. I probably wear sandals and shorts from about May 15th to about October 10th every year.
I'm hating right now.
Finally, don't hate.
I know, right? I just need to move back. Finally, at like Thanksgiving, it was starting to get chilly. But I remember one year, it was in January, in the middle of January. I had a Mazda Millennia at the time, and it was the middle of January, and I was driving down 75 from Marietta, where I live, and my sunroof was open. You cannot do that in New York. You would have snow in your car.
Right. Oh, no. I've been through some blizzards. I was in Boston when Hurricane Hugo hit the East Coast in 89, and then I was in D.C. for the blizzard of 96. So, I mean, I've seen all weather, and I'm kind of cool with 81 on October 7th. How about that?
You are right. Well, I just want to let you know a couple of things that's happening in the chat room right about now. It's very active. Tiff from L.A., who joins, well, I would say L.A., the West Coast, she joins us every day in the chat room. She said, yay, Libras, her birthday is tomorrow.
Yeah, what's cracking to the Libras? What up, Tiff?
I've got True View in the chat room right now. He's saying, I feel you, the weather is good. He's in L.A. He said, right now in L.A. it's 59.
Right.
That's crazy. Dropping Seed is saying that it's 70s and raining in Nashville. So everybody's just letting us know what's going on with the weather.
Angie, go ahead. You're not in charge of the weather. Like, I'm just so glad that we got a guy that takes care of the sun and the rain, because if it was me, I'd be late. The sun wouldn't come up when it's supposed to. People that need rain wouldn't get it when they, you know, I overslept. So I'm just happy, man. You gotta be happy with you. And it sounds like your show. My publicist told me you got a really great spirit, and it's my pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. You know what it is? I'll tell you real quick. I worked in the hip-hop industry, and it was getting out of control for a while.
Yeah.
It was just a mess, and finally...
You know what was cool, though? You know what was cool? Lazza, how old are you, Zai?
Wait, what'd you say, G? I couldn't hear you.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 37.
I turned 37 on September 30th. My wife and I sat in the bed at midnight watching the VH1 Honors, and when they were playing De La Soul and Slick Rick and all, we were going crazy in the bed. We were like, yo! And it's funny because, you know, I've been on urban radio for the last 7 years. My last day at I-107.9 in Atlanta was August 28th. And Irvin, I just can't do it no more. I can't vouch for hip-hop. You know what they're saying? What's up with them cookies and all this? It's just nonsense now. And the brothers now making so much more money than a Slick Rick and a Cypress Hill and a De La Soul. And they're not even being grateful. And in the end, it's all greed. So I'm kind of going back to the old 80s where Duran was big. And you can like the Jets. You can like the Jets. And you can like Olivia Newton-John. And you can like the Billie Jean album. Or you can like 1999. You know, that was just a good time growing up.
You know what they were. I have a son who's 14, and he actually said to me, Dad, I wish I grew up in it. Because I really loved the 80s. Just the music, the clothes, everything was about the party. And I got to tell you, I was watching VH1 Hip Hop Honors night, just like, damn, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, yo, I remember Children's Story by Slick Rick.
Come on. If we the same age, I'm class of 89, and I graduated early, so you probably class of 90 or 89. But I remember my freshman year, me and my homeboy Shannon would walk to school, and one morning he would do the beatbox for Lottie Dottie, and I would rap, and the next morning I would do the beatbox. And he would rap, and we would do it all the way to school. And then we would say my Adidas with our starter jackets. And it was just a time where everything was so fresh and new, and we weren't about all this violence and all this. I mean, it's just nonsense now, man. And I'm from the West, and I've been on the East, and now I'm in the South. And people just, at 37, if you don't have your mind right now, something is wrong with you. You're done. You missed your window. You don't get a start over, you don't get a mulligan. At 37 years old, if you don't get it, if you're not blessed to have what you have, it's a wrap. You might as well stop looking. If you're still trying to rap at 37 and you never sold 10,000 albums in your whole life, homie, way to waste your kids' high school education. You got a daughter and a son that's about to graduate from high school, and they don't even know you. So congratulations to all those dudes that's 36, 38, still trying to rap and being selfish.
You know what's so funny is I'm class of 89, and I just went to my high school reunion in New York. Everything is at a bar. So what they did was they just said, yo, if you're from like 88, 89, 87, 90, come on out, and we're just going to hang out and kick it for a couple of hours.
Okay.
So I went Saturday night, and I had the best time. And you know what the one thing everybody was saying? How everybody got along. Like, I don't really remember in high school, we didn't have gangs. We wore red, blue, purple, punk rockers, hip-hop. Like, there was all the stuff that these kids go through now, I didn't have to go through. And I went to high school right in New York City. And I remember dancing a la-di-da-dee at my eighth grade graduation party in 1985, just chilling. And it's like, what is going on? But what I was saying to you is when I got out of the industry, I said, I can't do this anymore. At some point, the madness has to stop. And it's funny because last week I had the new general manager of The Source magazine on the show, and I said to Amy, please do something with The Source magazine that can allow me to be proud and say, I am hip-hop. I said, right now I'm so embarrassed by it, I don't even want to be affiliated with it.
Right.
And what
were
you
going to
say?
I think the real problem, unlike you, I'm really from the West Coast, and we really had things, and it was everything y'all read about and saw about, so I don't have the same story, but the testimony is I never joined a gang, I never sold drugs, I never been to jail, and I never been arrested. And sometimes people applaud when I say that, but you're not supposed to. You know what I'm saying? And even though, you know, the streets of New York, the streets of L.A., hell, the streets of Nashville and Atlanta, it's some real hoods going on, but we got to make decisions. Like, all I saw growing up was abuse and rage, and I just made a promise to myself that my kids would never have to see none of that they would never have to experience what I had to experience, and I kept my word. And what happened, why 89 and 85 was so much fun, because we was kids, and we told the truth, and we loved hard, and then all that changed when we got grown, you know what I'm saying? And then you start meeting shady people, and then you get betrayed by your best friend, and then your girlfriend cheats on you, and then life hits you in the face. So because I'm a comedian, and I know who I am, and I'm allowed to do so many great things, I just never, all those life hitting you in the face, you just got to take them on the chin, because in the end, you will win. You can't sit around and be like, man, I just keep getting hit in the face. I'm just an abused human being. You know what I'm saying? You got to be a big, you got to have victory. You got to be able to shine while everything is dark. And maybe not one person might say thank you or be appreciative, but you have to do it for yourself. And that's what I learned in 37 years in a week.
Well, you said 37 years in a week, you're silly. I want to talk a little bit about your career, but before we move on, True View out in L.A. said, amen, that's what men do, take care of their young.
Absolutely. I got five kids. I got five two that I've been raising since the umbilical cord was cut. My daughter is 508 days old, and I have two children from my wife, and I never call them stepkids. And I never call them, these are my kids and these are her kids. I father five kids. So it's about being grown and being responsible and showing the kids that if I can, I just told my kids the other day, put them all in the basement. I said, look around. Come in the theater room and look around. Do you know that technically I don't have a job? I talk for a living. I don't have a 401k. I don't have nothing. And I talk for a living. I'm blessed. Y'all better grow up. This ain't reality. This is not everybody. I am the exception to the rule. Remember that.
You know what's funny? I want to just insert one thing off of what you just said. A lot of times I work from home now that school has started. My office is in the city, but I have a place where I can do the show from my house. And my son, my 14-year-old, he has said, and I've shared it with my listeners, he's like, why don't you have a job? Like, he associates success with all of his other friends' parents where they go out somewhere every day. And I explained to him, my job is a little different. And finally, I think he's really starting to get it. And now with this economic crisis, he has said, and he's almost angry because we scaled back. And again, I have shared this with my listeners, that kids sometimes don't even understand. And I try to explain to him, I'm like, don't you get, you have more than probably half of the kids in your class, like they just don't get it. So I know, and I said it, I know we're scaling back, and we joked about it yesterday on the show. I'm like, yo, Sunday, me and my husband sat down and had a coupon clipping party, and it's not to denigrate people that use coupons. I just, not that I'm any better, I just never did. You know, I'm a good shopper, and I don't spend a lot, and I buy what we need, but now it's like, yo, everybody's money that they do have in the bank is starting to dwindle because of all of this financial shenanigans, and so we reached out Sunday and had a coupon clipping party, and I told my son, let's go, get the scissors, I got three pairs.
you know what, and T-Shade of that great parenting you're doing over there, Si, I recently sat my sons down, and my oldest son, one thing about me, I'm about education. I'm not particularly about America's educational system, but I'm about education. My oldest son is 17 years old. He's a senior. He's about to graduate in January early. He got 1,800 on his SAT test.
Wow.
Every college in the world wants him to go to their school on academics. He actually has been playing football since he's six years old, and no college has seen a video footage of him playing football. And I never let him play video games during the week. His whole life. Like, we gotta be parents. We don't have to be their homeboys and their homegirls. We gotta be their parents. It ain't about being cool with them. It's about making them understand this is not a game. I'm so glad I believe in Jesus Christ and not the president, because I would go crazy right now. People would go absolutely mad if they saw how the economy is right now. And my wife put it bluntly. My wife is from Bankhead, born and raised. And she put it very bluntly. She said, now the whole world is on welfare. Now they know how we feel.
And you know what? I said that too. I said it sarcastically at times, but I have said, and I stand by what I said, that I'm happy that we're going through this now. And not, I don't wish anybody out of work. I don't wish anybody ill. But what happened was this materialistic nonsense has gone
right.
on for years that finally now people are going to get back to, okay, civility, normalcy.
Right.
But a lot of people are going through detox. And I said, my kids have to be detoxed off of this. My older son, he's in his first year of school. When he was in the 11th grade and 12th grade, I'm almost ashamed to say it, was $30 a week. Every Monday without fail, he got $30 a week just so he could go to McDonald's and do it. So I've had to even, as of late, detox my kids from this. I'm like, yo, dude, I can't. I mean, even though he's graduated and he's now in school, that's not the point. But it's that everybody's got to fall back off of this buying thing. And my Hummer is bigger than your Hummer. My Mercedes
right.
has more than yours. It was getting ridiculous.
Well, you know what, Si, is the bottom line is people got caught up in stuff. You know what I'm saying? If you go to my website, griffy2k.com, and click on Griff Live, you can see me doing comedy at churches and different events. And I'm not a Christian comedian. I'm a comedian that loves Jesus Christ. And I always say it, well, you want a Christian fireman to come to your house, or you just want a fireman? So to say Christian comedian, you're putting yourself in a box just like saying, I only do urban comedy. You know what I'm saying? When I was 3 years old, I wanted to be a comedian. I didn't just want to make black people laugh. I wanted to make all human beings laugh. You know what I'm saying? I sometimes try it on my cat. But what we got away from is not being happy with what you have. It's not being happy for the little thing. One thing about my mom, being from Crenshaw in Los Angeles, we never had nothing, but my mom always said, be neat. You know what I'm saying? Be neat. And people will respect you. So then when I went to go live with my dad for high school, he was middle class in San Jose, California, and we had everything. We had cars and Volvos and Saabs. But what I learned from my father at a very early age is that he was materialistic.
Yeah.
And if somebody came and scooped all them cars from him, he would kill himself. You know what I'm saying? So I was very balanced as I grew up. And just being an entertainer and being in this business and on radio and around all these people, I've seen so many unhappy millionaires. I've seen them. I've been with them. I've been in their house. You know, I've been in their mansions. They're so unhappy. And I'm so blessed to have what's inside of me. So What's happening right now and all the chatter and Barack is talking about change, but what it is for since we were kids, we're 35, 37 years old, since we were kids, people been living the slice of American pie, been a lie. It's just been a lie. So now they're getting hit with this realism in the face, and it's time to change. But if you was always about your business and you always took care of your family, then there's really no other change that you have to do. But tell your kids, I told you.
Well, you know what? I just got hit up in the chat room, and it's Dropping Seed said the prosperity gospel had something to do with that. And True out in Cali said they were born into good fortune, and we had some rough times throughout our era. I agree with that. I think a lot of people a little bit about what's going on right now, because I know my mother had me thinking that the world was one way and everybody dines, you know, has wine and cheese on Sundays. And so what I did was I perpetuated that with my kids, not understanding my credit card bills are going to get bigger and bigger. And at the end of the day, does all that stuff really matter? One of the things said on, we did a show on September 11th, and that's kind of what that show. That show took the show in a different direction, and my show has never been the same after September 11th. We had a very intellectual and insightful conversation, and I say me, the people in the chat room, the people that called in, because that day we really talked about what really matters.
Right.
All that stuff does it really, at the end of the day, does it really matter that you have a Hummer in your driveway that you cannot afford to put gas in? All of a sudden, a Toyota, a Nissan Sentra is not looking that bad.
Man, let me tell you something real, and what a blessing it is to talk to you and your listeners and the people in the chat room. I just finished reading this book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And basically, hold on, I'm at Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffle. Right here, homie? Okay, thank you. And basically, yeah, on Peace Street, right next to the bus.
I know where it is. I'm going to be down there.
Awards
next week, so I'll see you if I get down there.
Yeah, it's right next to the Carver Law Hospital. But anyway, at the end of this book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, and basically the premise of the book is that this guy, all he does is go to a Fortune 500, the top 100 businesses in the world, and he goes and teaches the CEOs and people that work there how to be better. And the joke is that, you know, the CEOs are always like, man, maybe you haven't looked at our record. You know, we make trillions of dollars, but you can still get better. And at the end of the book, he said, okay, you just read the last page of this book. Now, pretend that you were 95 years old and you could go back and talk to your 35-year-old self. What would you say? And he told the readers of the book, he said, don't get all alarmed. I ask this from all the people that I work with. And he said, and they all say the same thing. Family, your friends, your time,
yeah,
and your dreams. If you dream big, go do the dream. If you dream small and you just want a red Volkswagen, go get it. But you don't want to have no coulda, woulda stories. And I just thought that was great.
It is great. I remember I quit my job when I was 22 years old to start my own business. And my family was like, what are you doing? I said, I'd rather do it now at 22 and see if I can be an entrepreneur while my kids are young, while I'm young. I can always get a job than to wait until I'm like 40 or 50 and be like, wow, I wish I'd have tried to start my own business. And I have no regrets. I struggled financially for years, but I am so happy I did it.
Right. But you know what? You know what I love to have? And when you think about what you want and money, like really, I just want an ATM card where I can put in, and if my mama needs 2 G's, I can get her 2 G's. If I want to fly somewhere, I can fly somewhere. And it'll never just say insufficient funds. Like, I don't really care about the exact amount. I just want to be comfortable. But what's more than all of that is your peace of mind. And you don't have to worry about somebody coming to get that Hummer and you got to keep hiding it at people's houses. When you don't have to worry about coming home and maybe it's a lock on your gas tank outside. When you can just have a peace of mind. And being off the radio for the last 34 days, I realized that I spent more time with my family in the last 5 weeks than I have in the last 3.5 years. So I'm kind of disappointed at myself. I'm disappointed at myself, but I know that God got me. And it's so funny because I didn't go to college for 10 minutes. And I had all kinds of scholarships, but I purposely didn't go. Because my senior year in high school, I only had one class. And they made me go to school in California in 89 from 7:30 to 3:30. And my class was at 10:40. So for 9 months, I sat on a bench in the courtyard. And there were signs every day that said, let me go home.
Wow.
And they never let me go. So when they gave me all these scholarships, I was like, I'm cool on school. And on July 7th of this year, I've been on my own for 20 years. Just a boy, lived in Germany almost 5 years, played football over there, started comedy in D.C. 13 years, 5 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days ago. And I'm fine. And I'm a baby. It's like I'm a baby still. So I can't wait to see what the Lord has for me next. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand. This is like it's so refreshing to talk to you. I take great pride in the people that I present before my listeners, and they trust
That's
me
good.
To be good people. And I work my butt off to make sure I bring a good show and good conversation. I know we're just halfway through it, but just for the record and for everybody that's downloading this off of iTunes, I'm saying that you are an absolute joy to have on the air.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. That's a real blessing. Thank you very much.
I mean, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how you got into comedy. Like, what? My son is 14 and is the class clown, and I said, this kid is probably going to be a comedian, but we say it joking because the teacher always says, oh, he's such a nice boy, but he's just he's disruptive, and he's always making people, and I'm like, oh, I've been hearing this since he was in the second grade. Like, did you always know you were going to be into comedy?
Hold on 1 second, sweetie. I wanted to be a comedian since I was 3 years old. I never stopped living my dream. And the dream is to make people laugh. And I was the class clown in every grade that I ever was in. But the difference between me and most class clowns is I got straight A's. You know what I'm saying? So the teachers really couldn't say anything to me because I was funny, but I was also smart. So what I learned early was, yeah, you could be sarcastic and funny, but if you didn't do the work, they could blaze you. They could hem you up later. They could throw you in detention. They could do what they want to do. So you got to be able to be funny and maintain the education also. But what happened was probably, like I said, 13 years, 5 months, 3 weeks, 3 days ago, my homegirl in Washington, D.C., she took me to this comedy club in Laurel, Maryland called the Comedy Connection. And we went to the Comedy Connection. It was a big club. It held about 360, but this particular night, it was probably only 11 people in the club. And the comedian on stage, Kevin Lee, I'll never forget, he was the one that did the bit on Jeff Comedy Jam. He had all the knives and pulled his sleeve up and he had Band-Aids on. Kevin Lee was dying on stage. He was bombing. And he started joning the 9 or 11 people in the audience, and he joned me, and I didn't say nothing. I started the next day. And I say 13 years, 5 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days because for that long, I've done nothing but my dream. V103 in Atlanta came through my dream. I-1079 in Atlanta came through my dream. These cartoons that I'm about to do, they like my voice. It all came through saying one day, and I had to keep it real, Si, you know, I had a job. I was moving during the day, and I was doing comedy at night, and I had to keep it real. I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to give it 1,000% for at least 5 years. For at least. And I can't do anything else. I have to just do this. And if it don't work, then I'll quit and do something else. But if it does work, I accomplished it. And when you're an entertainer, if you have a plan B to me, hold on a second. All the buses in Atlanta passing me right now. Hold on. Armored trucks, FedEx trucks, buses. That ain't nothing but the devil. But I realized, hold on, now I didn't want to come closer. I realized that if you have a plan B, then you really don't believe in your plan A because you're saying, just in case this doesn't work out, I can do dot, dot, dot. So I just gave it my all, man, that alone, to be a comedian and to travel the world, making people laugh, that's it. If I die tomorrow, like, I did it all. I told my kids when they was little, one day it's just going to be me and you. I got custody of them now. And the only reason I have custody of them because me and my ex-wife, made a deal when we said, when they get in 7th grade, 9th grade, as long as I'm stable, they need to be with me.
Wow.
So I got my oldest son about to graduate. My youngest son is a sophomore, and my wife has a sophomore son also. And you know, I got to do it all. Like, wherever my son goes, Hold on one second. How to get to 85? Yeah, look, you're going to go right up here to this street. Hold on a second, Si. Hold on, New York. No, it's all good. The next light you come to is going to be a little blinking light. You make a left right there, that brings you straight to the edge. You can't miss it. All good. No problem. Hello?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that's being said in the chat room. This is too funny. FedEx truck and Tiff said grinding for your dreams is the best thing that you can do. It's a very tough journey. True View said they're everywhere. Check any movie, you see a FedEx truck. True also said, I agree. This is real talk that you're talking. And I just want to give a big shout out to my buddy Randy, who just joined us in the chat room. I see you, baby. I'll talk to you after the show. LaVon said she's loving this show. So this is all stuff that's going on in the chat room. And then you're giving traffic directions on 85. This is too funny.
But to go back to how I started and everything, so I'm really just, my mother, everyone asks me, so who's the funniest person, you know, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, and really my mother, Lenore Elizabeth Jenkins, is absolutely the funniest person who will never do comedy. She will leave me messages during the week and say, hey, do this on stage, and then hang up. Because she has funny premises and funny bits, and to this day, I thought my mother was the funniest. Then I met Wanda Smith, a comedian in Atlanta, Georgia, and definitely thought Wanda was probably one of the funniest people I ever met. And then I married someone who wanted to be a comedian her whole life but changed her mind. So really, if I do an hour on stage, I'm probably doing 25 minutes of my wife's material.
No way.
I promise you, my wife's so damn funny. My wife and her mama and my mama, I can't even stay in the room. I don't even win. I feel like an open mic comedian around them three.
How was it being, like, now, I'll tell you, we're almost like peers, even though I wasn't on terrestrial radio, but I'm on the radio every single day, live. You know, my listeners are amazing because sometimes they'll tune in to listen. One time I had to do a show on, like, the New Jersey Turnpike because I'm like, I'm getting my son registered for school. I couldn't make it to the studio, everybody, but I'm here. Like, I love being on the radio live with people every single day. How does that feel being on the radio every day?
Well, you know,
I mean, that's crazy.
For the last 3.5 years, we've been a consistent number two behind V103, Radio 1, Kathy Hughes station down here in Atlanta. And it was a blessing. I had a great team, Rashawn Ali, Empress Sergio, our producer, Akini, the Black Mac, and Tanya Crackham as the assistant producer. We just had a great team. But I understood the responsibility of making people get ready for their day. Like, just today was the first day of syndicated Ricky Smiley, and people calling, being negative, and like, man, we miss you. But you know what? Change is uncomfortable, but change is needed. So what God has for me next is what God has for me. You know, I love Ricky Smiley. When I got fired from V103 in 2001, my house caught on fire, and I lost custody of my kids, and Ricky Smiley sent me some money. Nobody else did. He didn't even live here. Like, nobody know that story except y'all's listeners. So me and Ricky go way back, and I remember sitting on the curb when he was going through some things and telling him everything going to be okay and you're going to overcome them. And so I'm happy for him, you know what I'm saying? And what God has for Ricky is for Ricky. But what I do know is I never left either on V103 or I-107.9. I never had to move. I never had to run because I didn't get a DUI and I wasn't caught with drugs. And I went to work and I did my absolute best every morning. I just talked to a guy at a gas station who had to keep it real with me and said, man, we just said, you know, you was teaching people how to be men on the air. And to me, that's the biggest compliment, you know. That was my goal every morning. I remember waking up saying, man, when I get home, I'm going to whoop my kids. And so we did a whole show. We did a whole show on why you should whoop your kids. And, you know, as funny as I was being, I was serious. I was serious. Like, I was, man, as soon as this show was over, I'm going to their school, I'm pulling them out, and I'm loving them.
I've often said I wish I'd beat my kids a little bit more growing up. I probably wouldn't have some of the drama I have now.
You know what? It's not even really about what my sons are 6'1", 210, and 6'195", and they're grown men walking around the house. And I told them at the beginning of this school year, I said, man, ain't nobody whooping y'all no more. That's purposeless. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say, man, you're about to be a man. I'm not going to degrade you. You're my son. But what I am going to do is probably punch you in the face. Then you can really see what's cracking. And I ain't had to do that. And my kids, I got great kids, man. Like, you know, it's all in what you did in those young years. If you try to teach somebody something to 16, it is a wrap. You might as well find you a nice brick wall with no graffiti on it and talk to it in the middle. They don't even hear you no more.
You know what's so funny? Everybody on the show knows, I just moved. I recently moved. So, you know, I'm trying to encourage. My one son is away, and my 14-year-old is at home. And so, like, the last couple days, like yesterday and then, like, 2 days last week, he said he's going with a neighbor to play basketball somewhere. And I said, well, it's only a couple blocks. I said, okay. So, finally, last night, he comes in at 8, which is very respectful. And he says, Mom, I have to tell you something. And he said, we to the gym, and they wouldn't let us in. So the little boy, the boy's 15, like a year older than my son, calls his father. The father goes to this gym and didn't realize that there's a membership fee and paid for my son and paid for his son for the entire school year. It was only $65. So
right.
I told his son, I said, well, we got to walk to his house, and I have to either write him a check or say thank you or whatever. And this is what the man said. It turns out they live not even 5 minutes from here. I rang the doorbell. I said, hi, this is my son. You know, they've gone to play basketball 2-3 days. I'm so happy that he has a friend. And I said, it's my understanding that paid for the year membership for my son. How, you know, you want me to give you a check? I can give you cash tomorrow. You know what he said? From the moment your son came here, he was so respectful in my house. It was my pleasure.
How about
that? I don't want a nickel from you or your husband. I almost cried because that's the times when you realize you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Your kids, you know, I tell kids in jails and group homes and wherever, I speak to them all the time. You represent your last name. That last name is not yours. It's your parents. And you represent it. I said, do you think somebody really gonna come up and say, man, I tell my son, I said, do you think if you get in an accident and a DUI, they're gonna say Brandon Griffin, senior at Westlake, gets in trouble? I said, no, you know what they're gonna say? Griffey 2K, formerly of I-1079 and V-103 son. They're not even gonna say your name.
Yep.
That's my last name you possess. So watch how you use it.
You know what's funny? My father always taught me, when you go out this house, you better be on point. I don't want to hear you were sleeping with some boy. I don't want to hear nothing come back. And that's one thing my father did. And he put the fear of God in me that if any word came back to him that I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, it was my neck on the line. But because of that, it makes me honor my family. I've done
right.
The same thing with my kids, and I've said this on the air plenty of times, that in the morning when my kids were younger and I would get up in the morning with them and they saw me getting dressed, they'd say, uh-oh, what, you know, you got in trouble? No, you got in trouble? Mommy's getting dressed. She must be going to the school. Because every time I had to go to their school, I would make a concerted effort to brush my hair a little more, because I feel if I come up to the school looking halfway, that's how you're going to treat my kids.
Right.
So it was just a little joke, because they would see in the morning, like, you know, if I'm getting up and I'm just ironing a shirt instead of putting on a T-shirt, they'd be like, yo, you got in trouble? Nah, you got in trouble? Yo, mommy's getting dressed.
That's real.
because they knew. They knew I was, you know, they knew I was going up to the school. We're winding down to, like, the last 10 minutes of the show. I can't believe it went so fast. What are you working on next?
I have an agent in Seattle, and he wants me to be on mainstream radio. So they're working on putting together, well, not even working. Well, I'm in the process of probably getting ready to move from Atlanta. It's a lot of openings around the country, and they're looking for strong, positive, intellectual African-American men, not to be no buffoonery or, you know, be the hip-hop idiot. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great time for me right now. I'm hosting the Boys and Girls Club Chairman Dinner next week. My Positive Vibes program is in the schools here in Atlanta, and my Secular Saint comedy show is about to go nationwide, and we got really big financial booking, and I can't be more happy, man. Well, one thing I am right now is I'm peaceful, I'm loving my family, and everything that's important is in my house.
Right.
That's it. All the money and all the what you can get from it. I don't even want another car. I got a truck and I'm fine. My wife got an Altima. She fine. I bought my son a $700 car, and it broke down, and I got it. You're right. Why am I buying my car better than mine? He's a boy. He ain't told one joke. But then I bought him an $800. And that's the upgrade from the 700. And basically what I was teaching them was respect your car. You don't get no nice car. First you get a car that got an antenna for a hanger, and you know, maybe your seats don't work all the way. That's what you get in the second. And then you got to teach them how to value. If I'd have just bought him a 2005 Honda, then he would have never appreciated having his college car, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, I'm still back on the fact you bought him a 700. I was like, wow.
Oh, the 700 was real. I had to teach him how to drive a stick. So I wasn't going to go buy him no Porsche. Bought him a 700. He drove it for about 4 months. Then it broke down, and he was like, we're going to get it fixed. I said, for what? It's a 700. Then I got him $800, I just put $400 into it, so now it's really the $1,200.
You know, I gotta tell you, Yeshua in the chat room, he's from the Dallas Fort Worth area, said I had to slam the door in order to get the heat to come on in the car.
Oh man, he only had AC coming out his side. He said, what about my friends? I said, what about your friends? Wasn't that a TLC song? I don't care about this.
Okay, listen to this. I got to tell you. Another one of my listeners said my first car was a Datsun 510.
Yeah. My first car, I had a B16 1967 Volvo. Right, these kids don't know what it is. I remember my homeboy, we always had to park it on the hill so he could pop the clutch before we get, because it wouldn't start by itself.
I'm reading some more stuff. Well, I'll tell everybody, my first car was a 1990 Hyundai Excel, and my car payment was $263 a month, and you could not tell me that I was not the shiznit. And the car was financed for like 6 years. I think it
took
like 18 months.
Yeah. My very first car that I bought with my own, you know, finance and went to the car lot was a 1990 Chevrolet Cavalier. It was white. It was cornballio. And I felt like a fool when I bought it. But I was in the military, and I was trying to be grown. But, you know, when you look back at stuff like that, man, just what a blessing to made it from 1990 to now, you know what I'm saying, from 1971 to now. So it's the little things, man. I tell people that's having bad days, they say, man, I'm just having a bad day. I say, can you feel, can you touch, can you hear, can you smell, can you talk? Well, you go to any hospital around the world, and somebody doesn't have all five of their senses. So if you want to waste your talking part and your communicating part on talking about how what you don't have, go touch a dog. Go hear some music. Go hear these FedEx trucks and these school buses. That's your blessing. And if you can't be happy with that, then you'll never be happy with $5 million.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And I know when I rose up through the ranks in my career very quickly, looking back, I know I didn't respect what I had. And it put me at a place of arrogance and entitlement. And now, you know, I had to go through some hard knocks to realize I'm not entitled to jack. If I don't get out and work for it and bust my butt for it, it's not going to happen.
I know that's right. And everybody that's seen, I don't even play the lotto. Like, I don't even play the lotto. They say people that play the lotto, they lose their money quicker than people that never had no money. Because they don't even know how to act. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's really funny is I play the dollar scratch-offs, like, once or twice every 3 months. And I hit for, like, $6 and call my wife and be like, whoa, I hit. She'd be like, how much you get, baby, $4? I'd be like, no, $6.